Well, those last few days I have been following rather ardently my friend Kelvin on Facebook. Because Kelvin is the Bishop of Dunedin in southern New Zealand and a friend of mine, and he is on a journey called Te Haranui, a hikoi of joyful news for Lent. He calls it a bit of a road trip. Now, if you've been to New Zealand, you know that it's quite a beautiful and wild country, and in the South Island in particular, mountains and valleys, and it's kind of all of Canada squished into a little small area. And his bit of a road trip means that he will travel by foot, mostly, by boat, train, and bicycle, to mark the bicentenary of Samuel Marsden's landing in the Bay of Islands and the first proclamation of the gospel in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Most of it will be by foot. And Kelvin began his journey on Stewart Island just the other day and took a ferry after that and has been walking through the towns and villages because he felt it was time to proclaim the good news. When Marsden preached his first sermon on Christmas Day, he called it the Good News of Great Joy sermon, because he was bringing good news to a new country. And everywhere where this Kelvin is stopping, they're going to have a brief moment of prayer. So at the local coffee shop, or when he stops to get on the ferry, or wherever. And then when he stops at a church, they'll have a regional gathering of people there. Once a week, he says, at various places, they're going to join together and witness to the gospel. Well, this is a very well-planned, programmed, thought-out journey. It has to be for a bishop to take A, that much time away from his office, and B, to walk as many miles as Kelvin will be doing. Will it make a difference, though? One man with a few people accompanying him walking through the hills and valleys and towns and cities of a small part of the world. Will it make a difference to him? Undoubtedly. Will it make a difference to those whose journeys intersect with his? Possibly. And what about those of us who just hear about the journey? Does it affect us? It's an external and an internal journey, a physical and a spiritual journey, one which actually mirrors today what we're hearing as well in our readings. Abraham and Sarah are called to make a journey. Now, they're even older than Kelvin is when they were called to this journey, and they probably weren't looking forward to leaving everything they knew to go out into some land of promise where they were told they will be a blessing and that they will also receive blessings, a lovely circle of giving and receiving. And then Nicodemus, he is called to rethink and refeel and reimagine his relationship with God as he encounters new truths and questions old understandings. So journeys of all sorts of kinds are the theme today and the theme of Lent. But what sustains us on our journeys? Because every one of us is on one currently, has been on a big one at some time, and will undoubtedly go on another one, either individually or as a community. Well, for some people, John 3:16 is it, the thing that sustains them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Well, I guess I'm a bit more like Nicodemus. I find that a little hard to grasp. It's a lovely, wonderful Bible phrase, but it's a bit too surreal for me, a bit too something I can't hang on to. Eternal life, okay, that's nice. Yes, I believe in that, but I don't know what it means, really. I don't really know, because I haven't experienced it. But instead, fortunately, there's another verse that we hear today, John 3:17, which is a little bit more grounded. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Ah, now that makes sense to me. That makes sense that God would send his Son for us to understand that it's not about measuring up. It's not about being condemned. It's not about being judged so much as it is to be saved. Jesus teaches us that the intent is not to pin blame, but to transform the outcome. The point is not to prove how not enough someone or everyone is. We're all incomplete and broken. That's a fact. When I was speaking at 8 o'clock, just before I began to speak, one of the little children that comes to 8 fell, and she screamed. Paigette screamed because she had fallen and hurt herself. And her dad, of course, didn't just leave her there. He went and picked her up and cared for her and took her away and distracted her and did all the things a good parent does to help her feel better. We're all incomplete and broken. We all are like that at times. And we need someone to do that for us. But we're also called to give that grace to other people too, without counting the cost, without measuring it. And we do that all the time by journeying with one another. So not a journey of despair, but a journey of joyful news in which we celebrate the grace that each one of us shows to the other at any given time. I am incomplete, and you have gifts which will help complete me. You are incomplete, and I have some gifts that will complete you. And that is the case for everyone in our world. These are the riches of God's grace that make it possible for us to somehow achieve some element of wholeness and salvation. Yesterday, I was skate skiing. Now, this is a new sport. I took it up this week. And I'm not very good at it yet, needless to say. So yesterday, on day 2, I'm in Gatineau Park. And if you had seen me, you would have laughed, as you kind of are now. But the concentration on my face was quite strong as I'm learning how to do this in a better way. And I'm whipping down, because it's really fast, this trail. And there's a woman coming towards me, and she's classically skiing along, which I'm thinking, why am I not just doing that? It would be so much easier. And as I meet her, being me, of course I want to look at her and say hi. And being her, she was incredibly friendly and welcoming. And as we looked at each other, she said, "Hello. How are you?" And I'm like, distraction. I looked up and said hello and fell. My skis crossed and down I went. And of course she stopped and said, "Are you all right?" And I said, yeah, I'm fine, except my pride, of course. And she said, "That is my goal next year, to take up skate skiing." And I said, "Well, this is my second day. So this is what you're in for." And she said, "This is your second day? But you're doing so well," as I'm lying on the ground looking at her. So then I carried on, and she was, I didn't know this, but we were going in a little loop. So when I turned and came back, she was coming the other direction. So I meet this lovely, friendly face again. And let me tell you, this time I'm like, I'm not even looking. I am just going to keep going, and I'll smile, kind of a nod. But of course, I couldn't quite do that. I had to look up and make eye contact, and I kind of went, "Hi," and kept going, because I had this stern concentration on my face. And she said, "Hi, wow, look at you. You're doing so great. Keep going. You look great." And I'm thinking, no, don't distract me. And I didn't fall that time, and I kept going. Now, that's a silly example. But for me, learning to do something new like that is a physical and spiritual journey. The concentration it takes me out of things that I used to know into new ways of learning. And the physical activity grounds me in my body and in creation and helps me learn new patterns of health. And I'm incomplete in both of those things. And there she was, doing something I'm familiar with and could do with no trouble at all. She seemed so complete to me, and was able to give me the blessing of the gift of grace. First of all, by saying, "You're doing great, keep going," which made me get up off the ground and do another few kilometers. But not only that, she said, "That's my goal for next year." So as much as I might be falling, she is saying, yeah, but how great, what a new goal. That's what I'm talking about. That's what salvation is. That's what it is about, not to worry about the fact you fall, but about the fact that someone will help you get up, and that you in turn will encourage them. She had lovely, nice, dark brown hair. I have gray hair. The fact that she's going to take it up next year, she probably thought, if she can do it, I can do it. The name Jesus, or Yeshua, or Joshua, means salvation. And the word in Hebrew means spaciousness, or commodiousness. It's the opposite of narrowness, the opposite of condemnation. Our faith is meant to open us up, which is exactly what any good journey does. And I'm sure that's why my friend Kelvin is trying to open up not just the church in New Zealand, but the hearts of those that he meets, the people of Southland and Otago, as they proclaim the good news of walking, of journeying, of accompanying each other in life. Abraham and Sarah, leaving everything under the reassurance that they'll be blessed and that they will be a blessing, no matter where they go and what they do in their old age. And Nicodemus, grasping new ideas and changing old ways of thinking despite being so set in what he thought he knew and where he thought he was going. Each one of us is touched by others, and we touch others. We're vehicles of grace in and to our incompleteness, which gives us a chance at making this world whole. There's a hymn that we sing, and it is, of course, something that I think we hope we will accomplish or work towards this Lent in our completeness. Come and journey with us, Savior, who has called us from our birth, who has washed us in the waters, and who loved us on the earth. Come and journey, journey inward. Come and seek him deep within, where he meets us in our living, in our striving, and our sin. Come and journey, journey outward, telling others of his name, telling others of his glory, of his cross, and of the shame. Come and journey. Come and journey with the Savior who has come. We are all God's sons and daughters. In the Spirit, we are one. And may we find joyful completeness. Amen.